The Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell just got bigger. Featuring former defensive star and three-time national champion at Nebraska and NFL player Jason Peter. Jason Peter under the helmet. With Jason Peter on the Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell.
Elissa Walker-Campbell, we are back this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. And I tell you what, it is a very big weekend in men and women's college basketball. The Final Four is set. It's underway. And of course, right here in the great state of Texas and in Houston, they are hosting the men's championship at Reliance Stadium. The women, of course, they are up in the Midwest in Indianapolis. So we are looking so forward to all this. You know, every week in our program, in our Under the Helmet segment, we're talking college football. We are indeed going to be doing that because there's been some alarming headlines that have hit late in the week. And we are so delighted to have back with us the double nickel, Husker great, three-time national champ. Your resume is so full. How are you, Jason P?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. This is a wonderful time of year. It's hard to believe that the month of March is over. Here we are in April, and let's talk some men's basketball. I know you're a fan of that. The results are in. The Final Four teams are in. And Virginia Commonwealth and Butler, they kind of crashed the party. And this is the first time ever no one or two seeds are in the Final Four. They made it happen.
Yeah, happy for the little guy, obviously making it to the end. And not quite the end just yet, but they've got the opportunity there. I was a little disappointed that they beat Kansas. I'm kind of a big Bill Self fan, so I was rooting for the Jayhawks. Plus, they always have a lot of players from New Jersey on their roster. But they just completely outplayed them. They out-hustled them. They were up and down the court. They executed the game plan. They played defense. They did everything they needed to do. And they really knocked the Giant down. Whether or not Kansas could execute the game plan that Bill Self wanted them to, I thought that they had a better chance at winning if they got the inside game going more than trying to match VCU shooting threes. But you got to tip your hat. But it doesn't get any easier for them with having Butler. Obviously, they're a team that knows how to play in big games and big atmospheres with what they did last year. So their work is definitely cut out.
Well, I tell you what, I like Butler, and I certainly like that coach they've got. He's just cool and calm as can be. Only 34 years old when we talk about Brad Stevens. But let's go back to VCU. You said it, Jason. They can flat shoot the ball. And the fact that, you know, to beat a team like Bill Self, who, I mean, I think is truly one of the premier coaches in all of college basketball, I mean, VCU proved that they could compete with some of the best in the nation. I mean, they beat teams out of the Pac-10, the Big East, the Big Ten, and then, of course, as you had just said, the Big 12. So perhaps this can be their magical year. I mean, but my question to you is, Jason, can they really win it all?
I don't see why not. Crazier things have happened. I think the thing that, for me, looking at it is, you know, when you look at the game that they played on a Friday night, Florida State, and then they turned around and played on Sunday. It was not even a full 48 hours. And I think when you're 18, 19, 20 years old, you're not even comprehending what's happening right now and how big this stage is. And at that point, those players are just playing on pure adrenaline. But now they go back to campus for, you know, a few days or whatever, and everyone's telling them how good they are, and sometimes that can affect them. And then they're thinking about how big this game actually is. And for the little guy, I think that probably is more dangerous than for a Kentucky or a UConn, where they're used to playing in the limelight. They're used to playing on national television. It's not a big deal for them. But, you know, for VCU, I think this isn't the norm. So it will be interesting to see what happens. But I think even if they get through Butler, there's a giant waiting for him with either Kentucky or UConn.
Well, let's talk about UConn just quickly. Jim Calhoun, I think of him, you know, there's been so much controversy around him and some of the things that have come out and violations within that program. But, you know, this is a team that perhaps they really can win it all.
Well, they're another one who, their road isn't easy either. John Calipari, one of the other premier coaches in college basketball. But, yeah, Calhoun, I mean, you pick a top 10 team in men's basketball, please show me a coach who doesn't have some sort of controversy.
Okay, that's true.
Him.
Yeah,
I think they all do because, you know, with the way that the system is set up in basketball, with the one-and-dones and you know, kids being able to just bail and go to the NBA, I think you're dealing with a certain kid here who has certain short-term goals. And you saw Bruce Pearl just get canned. And I think if a school took a long, hard look at their head basketball coach, talking about one of these top 10 schools, I'm sure they could probably find something that maybe the NCAA wouldn't necessarily see as legal. And it might not be because of something that they did, but, you know, sometimes these kids, these 17-year-old kids, they have these advisors, and they basically have this group of guys that are hanger-ons, and these are the people that bring these kids down, and they bring controversy and adversity into their life.
Jason Peter with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. It is our Under the Helmet segment. We have actually been hooping it up with him, talking some college basketball, but we digress for just a moment. Now let's move ahead. And the operative word is controversy. You just said it, Jason. And oh my soul, I mean, just alarming headlines coming out when you talk about college football. And I have to just be completely honest and transparent with our listeners. I did not get a chance to watch the HBO special the other night. This ex-Auburn players, you know, talking about cash handshakes, sexual favors. What was your thoughts after watching this particular program?
I was a little shocked to see, and I'm not the first person to say it, guys kind of throw their own school under the bus. But I think this is the type of kid that you're dealing with nowadays. It's, you know, they never take responsibility for their own actions, or they never take responsibility for why they didn't achieve something. It's always somebody else's fault. And if they are not in the NFL and they're not playing under a $50 million contract, it's not because they didn't work hard enough. It's because the school or the coach or somebody didn't put them in the right situation. Or, you know, the times that I've heard, guys say that, well, I should have been starting. And coach likes that player better, and that's why he's playing. I mean, the nonsense. These coaches, they want to win. They're going to play the best player, the guy who's got their house in order, the guy that they don't have to worry about, they're going to play that guy because they give him the best chance at winning. So now I think you got four bitter players, and not to say that some of this stuff has not happened. I'm sure, there are people, there are players right now that probably are sweating a little bit, hoping that their school doesn't start to investigate, or, you know, maybe there's some other players at Auburn. It was shocking to see, like I said, them throw their own alma mater under the bus. No matter what happens, I mean, this is the school that, you know, when you get there, half the guys on the team go out and they get tattoos of Auburn football or Nebraska football or Oklahoma, whatever it is. The stories that you hear from SEC country, I mean, everybody that I've talked to said, you know, that stuff happens down there. And I think they're going to have to continue to investigate. I was a little shocked that HBO didn't, I guess, show the other side. I know that's the part that Gene Chizik is upset with, is that they just aired the four players who claim that they've taken money or they've gotten money. You know, there was a handful of other guys that they interviewed that said, I never got anything. And I think they probably should have showed both sides. But, you know, I was telling you earlier that sometimes it's not the star players that get these $100 handshakes or bags of money, like one of these guys said in the interview. The guys that are succeeding lots of times, they've got focus. They've got direction. They know what they want to do, and they know what can sidetrack them, and they stay away from that stuff. A lot of times, it's the guys who just get there, or the young guys, or maybe the guy who was hyped coming out of high school and never does anything when he gets to college, because lots of times, you know, I think some of these boosters or these so-called acquaintances of the program that give the money to these kids, I think they look for maybe kids that, they can get their foot in the door, that somebody who's just 18, 19 years old doesn't know any better, and lots of times, they look at him as that's the vulnerable guy out of the bunch, and maybe I can get in there. And, you know, the coaches say he's going to be a player by his senior year, so that's where, you know, I can start my relationship. So, and, you know, most of the time the guys that let that into their life, those are the guys that you know, are the ones that are complaining why they're not playing in the NFL in 5 years.
Well, I have to share, you know, Jason, hearing you talk about this, I mean, it was an amazing revelation as far as some of these former Auburn players, you know, what they shared, at, you know, whether it happened at, you know, Auburn University or on the recruiting trail. And, I mean, we're talking large amounts of money. I mean, $7,000 in a bag or, you know, just different things like this. And I know that there are listeners that are tuning in. Jason, I mean, we have to share, you know, your resume, your credentials. A 3-time national champion at the University of Nebraska. You played for one of the premier coaches of all time, of course, in Tom Osborne. Someone's out there, you know, driving around wondering, ask Jason, I mean, did you ever encounter anything like this? Were you ever offered any money, or did you have to ever find yourself in some of these kind of situations?
I only walked out the door with an extra $2 million, Alyssa. That's it.
Good, you're taking us to Del Frisco's.
No, I didn't.
Really?
Would I be lying if I said that... you know, after a game, if we were out and somebody sent over a beer or a drink, that I didn't take it? No, I mean, you know, little things like that, that sometimes, you know, you can't necessarily, you know, when you're 20, 21 years old, is it against the rules of the NCAA? Probably, but, you know, you're out, you're having a good time. It's not like I'm taking $500 in cash. I can speak for my roommate, who was also an All-American and 3-time national champion, Grant Wistrom, that, you know, he never took any money either. We knew that as long as we took care of our business and we did everything we needed to do in the classroom and out on the playing field, that we were going to get an opportunity to make a lot more money than what anybody was willing to give us while we were playing college football. Nobody was going to come up and say, I'll give you, you know, $3.8 million. And I use that term because that was my signing bonus back in 1998. Nobody was going to come up and give me that kind of money. For me, I just said anything that anybody would offer wouldn't be enough. But the truth is, nobody offered. Nobody ever... you know, came up and threw me a sack of cash like, you know, one of these Auburn players. It didn't happen. And you know, I don't know if we never just put out the right vibe. You know, we were also fortunate that we came from families where we weren't on welfare. We weren't, you know, using food stamps or anything like that. But even at that, I mean, it's still, you know, it's you want to be somewhat comfortable in college, and the amount they give you in the scholarship check is just enough to cover your rent. And you know, you can understand why some of these guys, when money is offered to them, they're like, heck yeah, I'm gonna take it. You know, lots of them are fighting and scrambling, you know, prior to getting to college to make sure that they're eating dinner for the night. Lots of them don't have a meal on their table every night. I mean, everyone has seen the movie The Blind Side with Michael Orr, and you saw the way that kid lived, I mean, prior to that family taking him in. I mean, it's sad, it's shocking, but, you know, there's part of me that understands why some of these guys do it.
Absolutely. And, you know, the other thing, too, is I saw a report out, you know, like a full athletic scholarship. I think the value of it is around $120,000. But the thing that people don't factor in, and we could go into a whole debate about this, Jason, and at some point I do want to delegate an entire show to talk about, you know, should college athletes be paid? You know, with all that being said, I mean, you may be on a full scholarship, but you're not getting a stipend. You're not getting money to, you know, help take care of incidentals and things like that. And many of these players, Jason, and I know that you'll agree, you've been around it, you know, they do come from, you know, poor backgrounds. You know, their parents can't afford to send them, you know, a little extra something to be able to make it through the month.
Yeah, how about to be able to go home for a holiday? I mean, airfare, it's not like United or Delta is going to step up and say, well, he's a football player, he comes from a poor background, let's let him fly for free. I mean, you know, that stuff all costs money. And you know, like we just stated, the scholarship check, you know, barely just covers rent. And to be able to pay for an airline ticket, a round trip, you know, that's not cheap. You know, it never has been cheap to fly. And it's probably not going to get any cheaper in the future. But, yeah, for kids to be able to go home and see their family, you know, it's hard for some of these guys to do that. So, like you said, I mean, this conversation can take up an entire show. you know, I've got strong feelings about what should happen, but I guess we'll save that for another time.
Well, I'm just keeping my fingers crossed in the next 10 years, you know, perhaps when our son goes off on a golf scholarship, that, you know, it'll make it easier on my wallet and they will get paid. But let's move forward. Let's talk about another very hot topic right now, and that was with the Fiesta Bowl. Your thoughts about the controversy that went down with that with John Junker?
Yeah, it's certainly shady. You know, I don't think he is the only CEO of a BCS football game, or for that matter, any college bowl game, that probably uses the company credit card for things that maybe wouldn't fall under the category of things you can use the company credit card for.
I mean, and what would that be, Jason?
What's that?
And what would that be?
He's got four golf memberships to elite golf clubs out in Arizona, and I've, you know, played in the Fiesta Bowl. We stayed in Scottsdale. I know the type of areas that, you know, these golf courses are in, and they're not cheap golf courses. You know, this is a guy, though, that was pulling in an annual salary of like $600,000. But you know how it is. The richer that people get, the less they actually want to pay for, and the more famous people get, the less they actually want to pay. You know, so it's kind of funny and ironic, but, you know, he's a guy that, you know, he's charged $1,200 at a strip club to the Fiesta Bowl credit card. I mean, you can't do that. He took his family on 27 vacations using the company credit card.
Wow.
You know, $33,000 for his own birthday bash in Pebble Beach, California. $4.8 million charged to this company credit card over the past 10 years. I mean, you know, I think there's obviously some excess there, and I think, you know, like anything, you keep it in moderation. I'd have to say that there wouldn't be a problem, but now the BCS is kind of, you know, looking at the Fiesta Bowl and saying, well, maybe we'll drop them from our, you know, elite games, our BCS games at the end of the year. And I think that's comical. I really do, because, you know, the BCS, they've got enough controversy with themselves that now all of a sudden, because one guy makes a mistake, you're going to drop this entire, you know, tradition and history of great football games. You're going to drop that all because what? Because the BCS gods that be say that, you know, this doesn't fall under our moral code. I mean, that's a joke.
Going one-on-one with Jason Peter with our Under the Helmet segment. We've been jumping around a lot, and as our interview gets ready to wind down, let's talk a little bit about Mr. Pants on the Ground, Dez Bryant. You know, a week ago, we were having a lively discussion about that, his naughty behavior in North Park Mall, but who knew that he had so many outstanding debts? I mean, this story just continues to get worse. He had better get some good people around him and a great advisor.
Looking to be the male version of Elizabeth Taylor, I guess. The jewelry that he has, almost $850,000.
I thought you had that, Jay.
From jewelry,
yeah.
And tickets to sporting events.
Wow.
I mean, What type of jewelry are you buying?
Well, the price of gold is pretty expensive these days.
I know. Everything, though, is platinum that some of these guys wear, though. So, this is a classic story. I mean, look, I'll be the first one to raise my hand and say that I probably did some things in excess, especially when I first got into the NFL. I mean, you know, you want to live in a nice house and you want to drive a nice car and you spend money because for the first time you feel like you're on your own and you don't have to answer to anybody and you're self-sufficient. You're not depending on anybody anymore. But, you know, lots of these guys, they feel like it's going to last forever and that they're going to make, you know, $2.8 million or whatever Dez made last year, I think something, $2.8 million in base salary and bonuses. You're not going to make that for the rest of your life, and you can't spend like you are, and that's what lots of guys do. They live out of their means, and they spend like this is money that's going to be coming in all the time. I guess the problem that I have, though, is if you have it, then pay the debt. I mean, that's the thing I don't understand. Do you think that these jewelry companies or the credit card companies going to say, hey, Dez Bryant, I mean, he had a heck of a game against the Giants on Monday night. Let's just wipe his slate clean. I mean, it doesn't happen that way. These people want their money. So, you know, take care of your business.
Well, absolutely. And as we get ready to close out, you know, the thing that Dez Bryant better be praying is that the lockout does not continue, because he owes more than $800,000 in loans. And I think what's even more disturbing, and this, you know, we can talk about this in weeks to come, but that, you know, 18 months before he even signed with the Cowboys, you know, he was spending money like he already had it in the league and, you know, during his time at Oklahoma State. So here goes another NC2A investigation. But Jason, we certainly appreciate the time. We've kept you long, and we look forward to catching up with you next week.
All right, take care.
We're going to step aside. Much more straight ahead this weekend on the Big E Sports Show.